Huh?
Got the altar.
What?
Got the altar.
Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord, no?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Where was that?
It's in your heart, muchacho.
Amen.
Ooh. Well, I guess it's my turn again. Are you guys ready? Oh, thank you, mija. Ready to be shaken.
Yes.
By the Spirit, not by me. Thank you, Robin. I've been excited for quite some time to share with you guys this next sessions of scriptures I'm going to be talking with you. You know, I have a lot of brothers in the Lord that I have been working with for quite some time, and I realized with the years that we all have one thing in common, and it's that we belong to the household of God, no matter what. So the last series I was sharing with you guys was about a son who obeys and a son who disobeys. And they're still both children. We as humans, we tend to separate things, oh, because of this or because of that. And we kind of tend to mistreat the one who is in disobedience. And it's supposed to be all the way around. The one that is in home, the obedient one, he's already beyond blessed. But the one who lives in disobedience, the whole message of Jesus was to bring them back, to come back, to return to him. And so this series, I told you guys for quite some time, it's going to be titled God is in Control, because that's what he's been putting in my heart. We as ministers sometimes blindfold ourselves for our own righteousness or for the way that we see things. And when we see something that is going the other way, we tend to act upon. I'm going to tell you guys straight up. Some of our actions are not of the spirit. It's out of the flesh. As believers, we just saw a video on Friday how the apostles got into the flesh and almost ready to fight. And Jesus just told him, good night, brothers. And walk into the tent. And, you know, I know it's a show and everything, but that's how sometimes, even when we think that Jesus is in silence, doesn't say much, he's teaching you. And when he placed the servants to speak, he's not speaking to one person. We're just the messengers. We're just the heralds. But when, you know, when, in my house we used to say, if the shoe fits, put it on. You know? So I'm going to be speaking on week one, God is in control and the time is on his hands. Something that God's been teaching us, or been teaching me personally, to put all the trust in him. Everything at his right time. You know, he never shows up late. He's always showing up right on time. And there is plenty of ways for you to testify that he, at the right time, he show up on your home, on your household, in your life. Right when you need him the most, he will show up. So I want to share the verse that is, you know, this, the reason why I say that he's in control is because I want to share some characters of God. First, before we go to the scriptures, I wanna impart with you my belief, my gospel, my testimony of why do I stand before you in the presence of God, the reasons why behind all this. I wanna, you know, I've been telling you guys for quite some time, I love you all. I don't want you to look at me. I don't want you to put your eyes upon me. I want you guys to follow the one that called me. To see him, to ask him, to trust in him. I'm just a stinky little tiny servant. That's all I am. And I've been telling you for quite some time, titles to me is trash. Any title that you might put upon your servant in front of you right now, to me that's, it's meaningless. I don't walk with titles. I left all that stuff behind long ago. And I'm going to share with you after I pray, we're going to be on the verse I'm going to speak about why you guys in control, about faith first, and then about the timings of God. Because God's time, or the times are in His hands. A couple of weeks ago, when I was preaching, I was reading on Psalms, and my times are on your hands, God. My seasons are on your hands. Whatever I'm going to do it for your glory, not to glorify or to bring any glory unto myself. And so let us pray, and we're going to be in Genesis. Amen. Father God, we come before you, Lord, to thank you for today, God. I hear a beautiful voicemail today, Lord, of how faithful you are. I pray, Lord, for my brother Brito, Lord, for you to bless him, Father, wherever he's at right now. For the people that went down south, Father, I ask that your coverage will be upon them, Father, especially with the youngest, Lord. I know that you're faithful, God. But there is many of us, Lord, bowing our knees and praying for one another, especially for these grounds, Father God. I've been asking you, Father, for you to bring this wind, Father, the manifestation of your Holy Spirit as we stand and speak and sing songs to you. So bring glory to you, God, not to any of us, Father. But for this place to be a place where we will exalt your name internally, Father, so that externally could be just a reflection of the inside. I pray, Lord, as we go through your word, Father God, that we will just embrace it, Father, that we will acknowledge the Lord of who you are. Man, God, you're so good. You're so faithful. Lord God, anything, Lord, that we have done, Father, in the flesh, I pray that you will remind us, Father, that you have counted out of the way, Father, that you have thrown into the depths of this ocean, Father. And that we will not look back, Father, but we will look forward and up, looking for you and to see where you're going to be taking us. I praise you and I thank you and I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to share with you the verse that I've been speaking to you guys for quite some time. If you don't believe on this verse, then why wasting your time? God is in control. And listen to how beautiful God started to make a statement on Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. If you don't believe on that verse, that He's the creator of all things, then you're not giving Him the control of your life. That you're not giving Him no control whatsoever. This is the foundation of my gospel. If I don't believe in this, then nothing else in the Bible is worth it for me to read and memorize. Listen what it says in here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heaven and the earth. Why did He make that statement, that little short verse in the Bible? So that when you walk on this earth, when you have received the calling of the creator of all things, listen, I was telling my wife, sometimes the creation are quicker to understand God's plan than His people. There is a bunch of little things that you don't understand, and you see a little tiny cat walking, or a little dog, or a little goat, or lamb, or whatever the case might be, and they just walking, waiting for the day of. And we as humans, we started, oh my gosh, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Oh, my bills, all these other things, and start freaking out. Start losing the control. When God is listening, Genesis, you learn, I have created all these things for you to master these things, not for the things mastering you. When we're walking by faith, this is the verse that I want you guys, it's going to be our team verse. Genesis 1:1 for the next, 4 or 5 weeks, the series. If I don't believe on this verse, then we need to just wrap it up. Honestly speaking, okay? But listen to the second word. Listen, I believe, I was telling Mike on Friday, when I first came to the Lord, and I was sharing with Matt, as soon as I read the verse, it spoke volumes to me, because I believe, therefore I speak. If I don't believe, I will not speak. I will not make no statements. I will not preach. I will not teach. But I believe in everything that is written on this book. And it's leading us to a life. Listen to the second team verse, okay? It's on 1 Chronicles 29:11. This is how once you understand that you are his people, this is how you're supposed to be so much in love with him. 29:11 of Chronicles, check how the brother shares with you and with me for us to stand in faith, understanding that he has the control. And I was sharing this with Jacob the other day, but listen, I want to read it to you. Your soul, Lord, is the greatness. Your soul, Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. So I tie that with 1:1 of Genesis, because I understand, listen, yours is everything. And you gave your life to him. He came and purchased that what was his, already his, to redeem something that he already owned. Everything that is on heaven and in earth belongs to him, so that you could be set free from all your worries and all that you do and don't do and all this other stuff or the works of the law, by walking love. Man, if we just were to understand, listen, brothers and sisters, when a child is in disobedience, it's still your child. You're still child of God. Okay? When he comes, he will give to everyone according to what they have done. He will. Because at the end of the day, my Bible teaches me that his love and mercy endures forever. You're going to be living together if you don't mind. Say that in your heart with a disobedient child for an eternity. If that's the will of the Father, not yours or mine's, he will repay everyone accordingly. Because the Bible says that if you know him and you're misleading or you're misteaching or you're doing whatever the hell you're doing, you're going to be escaping like one stepping on the coals of fire, burning the soles of your feet. You're going to walk in into the kingdom of God. We're not the judge, but that's what I learned from the Bible. Listen to what I write you guys today. God is in control and the time is on his hand. These are some of the cards I'm going to share with you of God. Why do I believe that he's in control? Why did I walk in the way that I walk? Why do I labor? See, because I do works and I labor and I endure. And that's what I share with my wife for you ladies when you guys start the Bible study. You guys need to understand that there is works that needs to be done by faith. And there is a labor that you're supposed to do because of love. Not because you have to preach. Not because you have to teach. Not because you have to come to church. You understand how much God loves you. And you do things, you labor. Your labor is out of love. And the hope that you have by enduring all things. You people need to understand that there is faith, there is hope, and there is love. There is a labor, there is a work, there is a labor, and there is an endurance that you have to go through. And why do I believe in this God? I'm going to show some of the characters, okay? Because listen, this is about understanding that he's in control. Because man, there is some brother that wants to see in order for them to believe. They want to see signs. Listen, God, one of the first characters is God. Listen, okay, God is invisible. You cannot see him. God is invisible. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. I'm giving him the control because I'm walking by faith. Listen, I want to repeat myself again. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. Because God is invisible. No one has seen God and live. The Bible teaches that. Listen to the next attribute that God shared with me to share with you for us to understand why I'm giving him all the control. Listen, okay? God is invisible and God is light. God is light. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. There is no darkness at all. Why do I give him the control? Listen, even when I'm walking in the darkness or the valley of death, I will not fear, because I know who is with me. I know he's guiding my steps. I'm believing in the invisible God, and the one that I haven't seen yet, I love him with everything I have. I'm giving him the control. Listen, my time ended. I told you guys a couple of weeks in the other series. When I was born, there was, Guillermo Flores. Born in October 9, 1970. Boom. 2004, I died. Because I was born again. My world ended. And I gave my life to Christ. Almost 34 years later. 33 years of my life I wasted. Living the desires of my flesh. Man, but I was born again. Now I'm living for an eternity, and I want to live, and I know I'm going to live with all of you guys in eternity. Therefore, I endure a lot of stuff. I endure people like thorns upon my side. That's what the Bible teaches. The Apostle Paul had a thorn right in his side, and he prayed to the Lord to get rid of him 3 times. And the Lord came and told him, my grace is enough. The same grace that I gave you, you had to give it to your brother, Paul. That was the thorn that Paul was dealing with. I love him just the way that I love you. Although you are the great champion of the faith, apostles, the thorn that I sent to you is to remind you that you will not get puffed. So you will not think that you will die with tobacco chips. God is light, my brother. The number three attribute that I have to share with you before I go to the scriptures is that God is omnipotent. God is omnipotent. His presence is all over there. Whatever is in the creation, he's involved. He's involved in all things. He's omnipotent, man. Listen what it says on Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, and his incomparably great power, the dunamis, okay? Jeez, for us who believe, that power is the same as the mighty strength. There is no one like our God. No one from all the gods, only him can do all things for those who believe. I'm walking by faith because I'm giving him all the control, and I understand that my time or my seasons are on his hands. And now I'm living for an eternity. That's why I don't have love for or desire for the things I used to before. I used to horse yoke. Oh, you're a holy roll. No, I just know how to behave in the presence of my God. Some people will walk away from me, and I get it. It's all good. I still love them. Listen, the number four is that God is almighty. God is, listen, almighty is one thing, and omnipotent is another thing. The power of God is to be manifested. Listen, God did not give a spirit of timidness, being timid. But a spirit of what? Of power. See, that's the omnipotence. Why the power? Because it's through that power he poured the love upon you. So that you will share it with others. So that you will see the mighty power of God working upon the ones that you might not like. That you might disagree with. That's the mighty power that we walk upon. that we walk with. So God is almighty. Revelations 19 verse 6 says, then I hear what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. So he doesn't only have the power over the dead and the living, but he reigns. He's the first one to reign among us and among those who fall asleep. He have all the presence of the essence of God with himself. That mystery that was hiding by many generations was revealed to us. That Jehovah, that Yahweh, that Rah, that Pneuma, all of it, boom, given to you and me, so that we will understand like the creation does, so that we will be groaning to receive our new bodies, so that we will have a desire for the things of God, to get in love with him, as that you have no control of the love that you have towards God, that whatever you're doing, you won't understand that is because what he drew upon you. Because he's not only invisible, he's not only light, he's not only omnipotent, he's not only almighty, but he's also God is love. Not the love that you and I guys share. Listen, even when you fail, he's faithful. Man, because you're going to fall short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter how super Christian you might think you are going to fail. And through that failness, through that failure, to that stuff that you do, you're going to experience God's love. Listen, if you love somebody, you don't want to hurt them. You don't want to hurt the person you love. When we understand that type of love, your life, your relationships will be way greater. Because listen what the Apostle Peter says, love covers a multitude of sins. You're going to see like a multitude of roaring thunder peals, like roaring from heaven. That were actually written on the book of Revelation. Telling you that he is almighty. He reigns. He has the power to reign and to say and to speak into existence. There is nothing that can get out of his control. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And there is nothing at all hidden on his side, because he's light and there is no darkness at all within him. He never sinned. Not once. Not once. My point number one is that when we as people fail God, because according to John 4:16, listen what it says there. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. I'm going to repeat myself again. Why did I walk like this? Listen, okay? And so we know and rely. Who am I relying on? You? And I love you guys. But I go to the source. We were in a class once, and I said, I get it, but how can I get there? How can I get there? There's a reason, the way that I will write it, got it. You know, I remember like it was yesterday. And this is what God gave me. I relied on him. I don't depend on any of you. I love you all. And I just want to impart blessing upon you. That's all I can have from you. If I have any debt unto you, it's just to love you. No matter what, I will love you. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love, check this out. Whoever lives in love. How can you love, say you love your brother? I mean God, and you hate your brother. For any little tiny thing that he or she does. Man, we become the judge so quickly. That's why I told you that sometimes the creation understands quicker than we do. I used to have a dog, and then she would come back to me. Like, I just kick you. Get out of my face, dog. Many, but I treat one of my brothers like that. Days and years holding grudges against each other. And we're all flesh. We have the spirit. We have a soul. The dog doesn't have a soul. We start right away going to the scientific explanations, the logistic things. And then by that, we deny what we've been proclaiming and speaking of. Man, but what is it? Listen, even when we do that, you guys, listen, this all it takes. I am sorry, God. You teach me to love them. Can you please forgive me and give me your love again? And don't take away your Holy Spirit from me. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. And he takes you back. And he reestablishes you. A simple prayer of faith. And boom, you restore. I don't agree with this, Lord. So good, Memo. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God. And God in them. And God in them. When we as people feel God, He in His mercy has a plan to reconcile us back to Him by justifying us through the redemptive work of His only begotten Son that He did on the cross. So there is works to do, works of faith, and there is labors of love, and there is a hope through the endurance, a heavenly hope. Because whatever you do here and whatever the people does, guess where we're going to be together for an eternity. He washed their sins just the way that He washed yours. That's how beautiful God is. Man, I'm glad that we're not God, because we would have condemned the world right away. Character number 6. 5 was, 1 was God is invisible, 2 God is light, 3 God is omnipotent, 4 God is almighty, 5 God is love, 6 God is consuming fire. Hallelujah. I was telling some brothers on Friday, there is different type of fires on God. Okay? There is the fire on Hades, the always burning a fire. And there is the lake of fire that was prepared for Satan and his demons, not for humans. And there is a consuming fire, like the one in the bush with Moses, where the essence and the presence of the glory of God is there, and you say, God is holy. That consuming fire. That where you're being purified. Wash your hands, you sinners. Submit yourself to God. And the devil will flee from you. That's the consuming fire I wanted to share with you guys. You read that on chapter 12 of Hebrews, after the chapter of the faith, on the last verse. The last verse of Hebrews 12, I think it's verse 20, says, "For God, for our God, is a consuming fire." You lick all the people in faith, and you go to chapter 12, and then he closed that chapter with that. Speaking how many people walk by faith and give all the control to God, so that we can be imitators of them. Like the Apostle Paul says, "See, I can stand. This is my gospel. This is my testimony. I can stand and say that with humility, because I know who I was, and now I'm preaching that what I have here, and redeem me, and purify me, and justify me by the redemptive word that my Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. Therefore, I don't. God bless you, brother. I shared with some guys on Friday. I will never speak back of the evangelical church, not once again, brother. That was a priest. Imagine, entonces, this very day he hasn't. You won't testify. My Bible teaches me that I should not rebuke an elder, but I can speak with him on the side. Hey, brother, come here. Let me tell you what you're doing. This is what the Lord says. Or this is what the scripture says. You know, because now we can use that now. The attribute number 7 is God is holy. Quoting from Peter, the apostle, quoting from the Old Testament, from the Torah, on chapter 1, verse 15, it says, 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, he says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy. Listen, okay, in all you do. Not just when you feel like it. Not just when, oh, they offended me. Or not just when, no. Be holy in all you do. In all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So what is the holy? It's the presence of the consuming fire. It's the presence that I was supposed to be judged, yet I was in the fire, and not a head on my head was burned up, nor my cloth. I walk up of the pile where they say, fuel it up, heat it up 7 times more. And there was only few people inside of the burning shock. And they walk out like nothing happened to them. Because who was with him or with them? If it wasn't the angel of the Lord. The holiness of God and the presence of God. There is no pain, no suffering, no tears, no nothing. The fullness of God manifested in you, in this little tent that we're renting. Inside of you, cleansing you, watching you, loving you. Even when you messed up, boom, he's there. With his dunamis power to redeem you. With his mighty strength, grabbing you from his right hand and said, Father, this is mine. You gave him to me. An advocate. And the court representing you. You guys hear that? We're ambassadors of Christ Jesus. We're representatives of Christ Jesus. And yet he's representing you in the courts of the Heavenly Father as your greatest lawyer. So that we can do the same here, representing him who called us. Number 8, God is merciful. Hallelujah. He's not only holy, he's merciful. Man, listen to what it says on Exodus 34, verse 6. God is merciful. Listen, okay? And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed. Remember the story of God who was telling you, Moses? Listen, the Lord passed by him and proclaimed, the Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. That's Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. The Lord is faithful, merciful. Listen, faith, hope, and love, goodness, and truth. The message of the apostles didn't change much from the prophets. It's the same message. The whole thing is to bring people back to the Lord, not to push them away, to bring them back to his mercy, to his throne, to his glory. Lord, use us. Help us. And the one, just so I can go to the scriptures, God is good. Okay? God is merciful, and God is good. Psalms 25:8 says, good and upright is the Lord. Because that's when I want to go with the scripture after this. Good and upright is the Lord. Who lives in you? Who dwells in you? How are you supposed to behave? How can I give all the control to the one that you calling him my God and my Lord and my Savior? And to you, I'm the only one who has presented my sin. I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. He says, I'm giving you all, Lord. I got all, everything that is mine belongs to you. The gold and the silver and everything in it. Everything. Because listen, God created the heavens and the earth and everything that is in it and moves. To him you belong. From the get-go, whether you want to believe it or not. But now that you have become a believer, now you are a child of God. See, I knew about God before I came to believe and proclaim salvation on Christ Jesus, because nobody gave me the spiel before that. No, somebody did, but I didn't want to believe. I rejected it, rejected it, rejected it, rejected it until I was 23 years old. And God used my wife and some other folks that were praying for me faithfully for this crazy guy. And now I'm here before you to tell you and testify that God is good. Listen, God, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches, this is one of my preferred verses I was quoting to these kids. He teaches sinners in the way. You see how beautiful God is? He will teach you. He will let you know when you're wrong. He will reveal the desires of your, the thoughts of your heart. Because that's who he is. He's, you know, he's cutting from bone and sinews and everything, DNA, and going all the way in. All the way into the root of the matter. And then he lets you know. And guess what? You have a choice to say, I'm sorry, God. That's how merciful he is. I am so sorry. Man, I messed up again. It was not my intention. You know my heart, God. I meant well. Yeah. Forgive them because you've been forgiven. Point number two, the plan of God is for his people to turn back to him and be blessed. Especially when we are attacked or captivated by the plans of our enemies, is to go back to him. You're going to be attacked, brother. And sometimes you're going to be captivated. There is plenty of scriptures for me to go with you about being on that stage. But I'm here to tell you today in the message that God is in control. And he has the time on his hands. He has your time in his hands. When he calls you home, you're going to hear this beautiful statement. He belongs to me. Why? Because you confess him and you acknowledge him. You acknowledge him among his people. He will not put you to shame. God, from the starting of everything, had a plan for all to be in one accord, brothers. That was the plan of God. To have one thing in common that I just told you earlier. It's the Spirit of God living in you and me. Man, you're going to disagree with so many brothers. But don't do what the apostle did on the film yesterday, I mean Friday. Really? Man, if we would just understand that, we will take the blindfulness and understand, you know, I can bring scriptures of different things because I was, Laura said something really beautifully. My sister recognized this, that she can grab a passage of the Bible and make a mess out of it because of her own understanding. Man, that was beautiful for her to say that, because anybody can do that. Because you can take a passage and just destroy instead of building. I can bring a bunch of scriptures that will relate to that, but that's not the point. Listen, whether these are things or people, God is making a plan to bring everything back to him. But apparently, like I said to you, some of the creation are more promptly, more quicker to understand God's plan than his people. That's an unfortunate thing. My dog forgives me quicker than my own kids. And I forgive my dog quicker than I forgive my own kids. That's how plainly the truth is. Because we so narrow-sighted. Instead of being narrow, scripturally, we're narrow-sighted. We just want to see one way or the highway. So dangerous. Let's go to Jeremiah 29. I know you guys know this chapter. Sister's been trying to bring us the famous 29:11 verse for quite some time. But let's go to the contents on 29 of Jeremiah. And that's where I'm gonna be for the message. I wanted to share these attributes for me to start the series to let you know that God is in control, not you. Listen, it's not about you. I shared a couple of weeks ago, He make everything of Him about you so that you can make everything of you about Him. That's what God did with you and me. It's not about you, but yet He make everything of Him about you. It's Jeremiah 29:1-14. Okay, so it's important for us to understand the plan of God. When we struggle, you guys, when we're going through it, the Bible says, listen, ask Him. Ask Him. What does that mean? That He wants you to spend time with me, with you. The what? Oh, the scripture?
The characters.
Oh, the characters. Okay, I'll give you. I'll give you. Number one is God is invisible. You find that in Hebrews 11:1. Number two, God is light. That's in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. God is omnipotent or powerful. Ephesians 1:19. God is almighty. Revelation 19:6. God is love. 1 John 4:16. God is consuming fire. Hebrews 12:29. And God is holy. 1 Peter 1:15-16. God is merciful, Exodus 34:6, and God is good, Psalms 25:8, and He will teach your sinners in the way. Okay, so let's go to Jeremiah with me, and we're going to read the text, verse 1 to 14. Amen?
Amen.
And pay attention to this chapter because it's so beautiful, you guys. And I know a lot of us only, you know, quote verse 3 or this verse 11. But listen, let's read the whole thing, the whole paragraph in the context, all right? Before He starts telling people, listen, you guys are messing up. But if you guys turn back to Him, He will be faithful. Every prophet, listen, and I've been telling these young men, when we share God's word, when you're testifying about God, listen, okay, first one has to be grace. Be gracious. Be gracious. Okay, and then read the truth. You have no business to dismantle or to work upon the truth. You just preach the gospel. Teach the gospel. You don't have to say much. All right? Boom. Grace, truth, and not left. That's the way that the Jesus and the apostles start. You have to bring the truth. But it's not you're not the Holy Spirit. You're not the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit do His work upon everybody. You just preach the gospel and you teach the gospel without going to the left or to the right. You know the way. Walk in it. Walk in it. In other words, like what you're speaking of truth, you better leave it. Leave in Him because He's in love and God lives in them. You know the way. God will teach sinners on the way. You know the way. So let's go in the context of 29:1-14. This is the test, hallelujah, of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. I looked at this book many years ago and I was wondering why Jeremiah didn't win with the exiles. Because God is in control. And His timing is perfect. And so He sent a letter to the elders, to the leaders of the Israelites. Listen to the elders and to the priests, to the prophets, and all the people that was taken by Nebuchadnezzar to exile into Babylon. An uplifting. Listen to the advice, brothers and sisters. You think that Jeremiah was having fun over there on the north? They were taking all his family, many of his friends, and the people that he dearly loved. That's why they call him the weeping prophet. The love of Jeremiah towards the people of Israel, man, I sometimes I pray and hope that many will experience it as leaders in the churches. To speak this beautiful message, this letter of, come on, you guys know who we serve. You know who God is. Listen to the next verse, or next part of the verse, in verse 2. This was after King Jehoiachin and the queen mother, the court officials and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers and the artisans had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter. Hallelujah. So he's doing the opposite that they used to do in Jerusalem. Sometimes churches falling upon the scene and being exiled, being captivated because there is no order. There is no entrusting. Listen what it says in there. He entrusted the letter to Elasah, son of Shaphan, or Safan, and Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, from Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, and says, this is what the Lord Almighty, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carry into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. See, because God is in control. How can he put him back into captivity? Why did he do that? There was a time, 7 years of the times of Babylon. Then I'm going to bring you guys back. Because the time is on his hand. See, the Lord reproaches those he loves. The Lord is the one who took them. That was in Nebuchadnezzar. If you go to the prophet Isaiah, you're going to understand that. About Cyrus and how the prophet, his servant Cyrus was going to bring in Nebuchadnezzar, was going to take over. It was prophesied before him. And the people has heard the message. Now Nebuchadnezzar shows up and the people instead of turning back to him and changing their ways, you're the highway. So many people are like that. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carry into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters into marriage so that they too might have sons and daughters. Increase in numbers. There. Do not decrease. Do not decrease. I have a plan for you. I am the one in control. I want you, even though you're in captivity, understand that I am the one who put you guys there. But I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to send my prophet, and he's going to send you a letter. And there goes the letter. And he entrusted people to go and deliver it. Read the text, why he did that. I don't want to go through that. But read it. Read it, you guys. Verse 7 says, also, check this out, okay? Don't misrepresent me. That's what he's going to tell them. You guys been misrepresenting us all these years. Now God is telling you. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. You guys hear that? Instead of dividing, represent me. You guys know the scriptures. I told Moses, you're going to go, but because you misrepresent me, you're just going to see them from afar. You see Esau, then he with tears, he was longing to receive his blessing. Well, he did. If you read the scriptures. Now he's telling the people, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray for, pray to the Lord for it, for the city. You see why the apostle James says, consider all things a joy? How can you be crazy, Memo, to see, you see what your mom, your uncle, your grandpa, your daughter, they're going through, and you're still going to be like, praise you, Lord. Well, that's what you're supposed to do. I trust you, God. And you know what God uses the servants to reaffirm or reassure people? He or she will be good in the name of Jesus. Well, I'm praying by faith and I'm trusting God that He will do His mighty work upon you and your household. You declare life. You speak life upon people. Listen what it says in there. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, guess what? You too will prosper. You're going to see my mighty hand upon the wicked. You know how the psalmist says, how can the wicked, oh God, they go and do all these things and they prosper, and I'm over here, Lord, I don't have nothing. I give everything to you. And people start coveting what the unrighteous have or don't have. The Lord says, just learn to be content. Listen, if that city prospers, guess what? You're going to be part of it. Walk in such a way. Listen on Proverbs, I think it's 23. The wealth of the wicked is a store for the unrighteous. I haven't seen a righteous one in want. I haven't seen a righteous in need. See, that's what the Bible teaches us. We have what we need to have. Like the little animals, like the little sparrow. Think I'm over 1 minute. Give me 4 more minutes, okay? We have to walk in such a way so that we can understand it. You guys listen, okay? Verse 8 says, yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Okay? Don't let people listen. You have to know the truth. You have to be merciful. No, you know what? Surely, listen, when you entrust people unto God, I was telling a young brother, you know, when I got saved in Harvest. And for 1 year, I was a disciple by this Filipino guy. For 1 year. And then he told me, I don't need to teach you no more. You go and do your thing, what the Lord called you to do. And that's when I met Matt. For 1 year. And a lot of people think, oh, they get saved and they don't follow up. No, I was part of them and they follow up with me. And for 1 year, one by one, one to one, I did it with Matt, with Matt's son. With Mark, I did like 4 years, one in one. You disciple people. You teach people. Listen what it says in here. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty says. The God of Israel says, do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen, okay? Because when you know the truth, no one is going to take you or lead you astray. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. You guys get that? You want to pray for them? You want to pray for the city? You want to be prosperous? And there is people misrepresenting you, representing me. Don't fall upon that. Don't be misled. Don't be bewitched by nobody. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Get to know Him. And you entrust Him. I entrust you guys with anybody. I know you guys know the truth. And nobody will come and detour you. I don't believe that. I'm entrusting my brothers and my sisters and prayer every night unto God. That's what I just did on that room before we started the service. You entrust people to God. Don't let people mislead you. Listen what it says in there. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon. See, if they told you, we're going to be good, we're good. Let's go put another altar for a different God. Let's go this way, let's go this other way. Do not listen to them. If it is not in the Bible, don't hear me, don't listen to me. If it is not, you don't find it in here, walk away from me. Or my understandings. We're here to shout from the rooftops what God is doing, what the plan is, and the 7 years are the right time. God never comes late now. God never loses the control. He is almighty. He is powerful. He's everything. in your life. Listen what it says in there. This is what the Lord says when 70 years are completed for Babylon. For Babylon, not for you guys. For Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promises to bring you back to this place. Imagine Jeremiah sending the letter to his peers. Listen to the next verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. This is how you're going to represent me. This is what I have for you. God is in control. And the time is on his hands. When you walk in such a way, you don't have to worry. You don't add a minute to your life by worrying. You entrust people unto the one he called you. I'm making you, I'm beseeching you, read the Bible, spend time with God. So no one will mislead you. Don't fall upon your own understandings upon the scriptures. Look at the contents. Look at the culture. Look at the way they used to reason back then. We're in a whole different world nowadays. But the word is still the same. It still applies. It still encourages you and gives you advices how to walk among the wicked. Verse 12 says, then you will call on me. Hallelujah. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me. You call and you pray. I was calling for God to manifest with his Holy Spirit today. And I pray for all of you in that little room. I do it every Sunday. Even if it's only 1 minute prayer, I won't do it. Because I know who God is. I know what he has planned for this place. I know what he's declaring. I know what is written. Man, why did he teach me these things? I wish I would not know what I know. Really? Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Listen, I will be found by you. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. Every single time. Don't be thinking this at the 7 years. Every single time you messed up, you just kneel before God and he will take you back. He will put you back into the promises of him, onto the plan that he has for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, and a good future. He will do that. He will do that. The Bible, you know, the apostle says, don't let a little tiny something come into your heels, because he will come in and tear you apart in pieces. Don't give him a foothold. Because once he grabs you, man, he wants to destroy you and swift you like shaft. Knock you down. He has been defeated. I said, defeated foe. When I prayed with David yesterday, I declared that upon his church, brothers, from 300 people, he's only had 20 people at the church. And we come in and we just pray me and my wife and not left him. And I'm pretty sure he's right there. He's going to be the fire for this, for God to do his work at the church again. Because I gave him the vision that I checked with Matt. I saw the dryness. And then I saw people coming, flocking. Then pastors has to have 2-3 services a day. Because so many churches was going to be closed. And then the flood of people will come back to the Lord. You guys will see that. That's what I learned from the Bible. At his time. I'm not in the rush. At his time. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carry you into exile. Point number 3, give God your problems. Give God your problems. Give him the control of your yesterday, your today, and mostly your future. Give it to him. He has better plan for you. Man, I have so much scriptures to share with you, but I don't have more time. So we want to close in here. I have other few places that I want to share with you. But I'm gonna close. I'm gonna close with this. I'm gonna close telling you that if for any reason you have walked away from Him, come back to Him. Come back to Him, and He will place you back where you're supposed to be. You're a child of God. Listen, doesn't matter what it is. It could be the less important thing in your head. He wants to carry it for you. He wants you to let Him have it. And He will bless you. That's why one of the verse theme is going to be 1 Chronicles 29:11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth, and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. And you are exalted and as head over all things, upon everybody. These people were so madly in love with God that were able to shout these things. And it fills my mouth and my heart to share with you. I'm madly in love with God. And the desire to every person who shares God's word is for everybody to be like that. Listen, don't be a busybody who is doing what and what they're not doing. You do. You do. Don't sound the trumpet of everything that you're doing, what you bring into the storehouse. That's between you and God. Don't do the certain things that God commands you not to do. Don't do them. Don't do them. Be obedient to Him. Obey the Lord. He's good. And His mercy endures forever. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You to thank You, Lord. I thank You, God, for Your message, Lord. I thank You, God, for giving me an opportunity to share with my brothers, Father God. You have heard other brothers being blessed with it, Father, and I pray that the same blessing that others has received, my brothers here in community, will also receive from You, God, not from me. Bless this word, Father. Bless this series, Father. Bless anyone who stands before You, Lord, to preach the good news unto Your people, God. Let the seed fall, Father, in good soil, Father God. That Your people will just rise up and say, Lord, I am here. I have failed You, but I know You're faithful. Forgive me, God. Forgive us, Lord. Same thing that I pray for my brother David and the Bleedos, Father, I pray for workers, God. I pray, Lord, that You're developing people and touching people's hearts and minds, Father, that they will come to You and say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Prepare the way, Lord. Go ahead of us. Lord, and let us walk in Your way. As we faithfully serve You, Lord, and want to bring glory to You, God, may You be recipient of all of it, Father. May You touch our minds and hearts to do things according to Your plans, not upon our plans, Lord. And thank You for all things. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. I run out of time, sorry guys. Maybe next time I'll be more quicker.